This is fun! The FU Network! I'm Ed the Sock. Welcome to Rock'em Sock'em Politics. Tonight, we're going to talk about a range of things which, if I didn't have a head cold, I would have at my fingertips and be able to tell you. But trust me when I say it's going to be interesting. We're going to start off, we're going to talk about Justin Trudeau and his choice of leadership debates, you know, the picking and choosing that he's done, and why that happened. There's actually a reason behind it. We're going to talk about hallway medicine in Ontario, Premier Doug Ford promised that we would stop seeing beds in the halls of hospitals. People would have rooms. We're going to talk about that. We've also got Hafiz. And Hafiz, what are you going to talk to us about tonight?
I'm going to talk to you guys about Chick-fil-A and why people are protesting Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
And why they should really double think that.
Okay, so Hafiz Narayan is going to talk to us about that. Let me start off by saying that...
And I got Brexit.
What's that? Brexit? No, fuck Brexit. Right? Fuck Brexit.
Oh, sorry, Justin.
You know what?
Well Justin's going to do
my
Brexit.
My precious notes.
All right. So I want to just point out, people think, because online... Okay, who's making with the rattling of the papers? Don't do
sorry.
It. Don't
sorry,
do
that,
it.
I moved my laptop. That's it.
Okay, no more of that shit. All right. People think that because I go online and defend, they think I'm defending Trudeau when I clear the record and say, no, what's being said about him by partisans and by Andrew Scheer is just not factual. People think that means I'm in the tank for Trudeau, when in fact, I'm just trying to correct the record. Because if you're going to vote for somebody, you should decide yes or no based on the facts, not based on the bullshit someone makes up about them and the media eats up like those flies that land on logs of excrement, okay? I think it's important in elections that the truth be debated, not a whole bunch of bullshit. So, and it just so happens that the bullshit, the large majority of the bullshit, is coming from Andrew Scheer's camp. But when I thought that Andrew Scheer was being, his comments were being misrepresented, I said so on Twitter. I defended his head of social media when he was being misrepresented as a white supremacist. And I had people, Twitter followers, beat the crap out of me that saying, whose side are you on? Because nowadays, apparently being on the side of facts is not valid. So I defend the truth. I want people to see the facts. It isn't about defending Trudeau himself. I do lean towards the vision of Canada that the Liberal Party has for this election. So I'm not shy about that. I've always been somebody who believes that we gotta help those who need help, not need help anymore. You know what I mean? It's better for society. It's enlightened self-interest to not have people so desperate and starving that we wind up having high crime, disease, shit like that. It's enlightened self-interest. I don't want people here who have money to feel like they need to hire personal bodyguards like they do in the States, because everyone there is like, you got yours, I'm going to get mine. I don't want that shit here. So that's why I like the idea of people caring about other people. You don't have to care about them as people, but care about yourself, okay? If all you care about is yourself, you don't want a society where people are left to die in the streets like in the Dickens novel, okay? You don't want that. It's not good for business. All right, this is all to say that I contacted the Liberal campaign a few hours ago, the media people. I called them, spoke to somebody, sent an email wanting some a greater clarification on the issue of why Justin Trudeau is only going to be participating in a couple of the debates. And they didn't get back to me. Because I guess you think that something called FU Politics, a show on FU Politics, isn't serious. Well, guess what? If you check out the iTunes list, the top five, top 10, top five, we're stopping the crap out of CBC. Okay, shows like Power and Politics and other shows, established shows, Canadian political shows were jumping up and down on their necks as far as how many people are listening to us versus them. So you go ahead, and I'm sure you got a hotline to CBC and CTV and so on. You go ahead and treat us like we don't matter, because we do, and we're not going to forget. I know Justin Trudeau somewhat. I think he's a decent human being. I knew him when he was running Ketimovic. We've never gone out for lunch, but the impression I got of the guy, decent guy. The people I think he's got around him are a bunch of shitheads, more or less. And some of this is coming out more harsh because I got a frickin' head cold. But
No, you're telling us how you really feel, but, and you're doing the right thing.
But no. Thanks, like I needed you to pat me on the back. Shut up. You think I'm being bought off by the liberals and shit like that? No, they couldn't even be bothered to get back to me to give me a clarification on an issue that would help them.
Damn so right.
Let's
damn straight.
Let's move on. Justin Trudeau is announced that he was not going to participate in all of the five debates that he was invited to. Most specifically, he's not going to go to the Monk debate, and he's not going to go to the one put on by McLean's Magazine and City TV. And initially, I was critical of this, and I still am. I think the optics of it are horrible. But there's actually a damned reason for this that was another failing of our media, as well as the liberal comm shop. They talk about Trudeau not attending these debates, but not providing the frickin' context. The reason is because the last election, Stephen Harper only appeared at debates which were the ones that were going to be the least watched. He was, as they said, gaming the system. And so when the Liberals came in, they established the Canadian Debate Production Partnership, which is an organization of numerous broadcasters and web companies. The debates that they put on are going to be broadcast all over. They're going to be streamed live. They're going to be made available live in indigenous languages and in various languages. These are big events, and they did it so that they could have a campaign or debates where the most people could listen to them, watch them, and draw something from them. Okay, they are the ones who set up the debates that Justin Trudeau said, yes, I'm going to go to, because that was the purpose of setting up this whole partnership. And then these others who weren't part of the partnership, for whatever reason, say, no, come talk to me too. And listen, I understand why we went to the trouble of setting up this whole thing, bringing all these competitor broadcasters together with the online streamers, and all this stuff, bringing in people who are going to do live translations in other languages. We made all this effort so that the debates would be seen by as many people as possible. And you want me to just sort of push that aside and then just go to your little debate. And so I understand there's a reason why he's standing by the decision to only go to the debates that were set up by the Canadian Debate Production Partnership, which is nonpartisan. Okay, it's not a liberal thing. It's nonpartisan. Everybody, all the parties were a part of that. It makes sense. But you know what? It looks like shit. Because when you're a prime minister that some people think played fast and loose with the truth during the SNC event, I don't think so, because he spoke somebody telling the truth, who's just getting more and more information. Because people say, yeah, he said one thing and then he said another and said another. That's what happens when you believe something and then you get more information and then you update it, you change your story because you got more information. The people they have to be concerned about are the ones who stick to the same story no matter what happens. Those are the liars. But when you're a prime minister or political figure that the country has some vague feeling is not trustworthy or not as trustworthy as they thought, for you to seem evasive by not being part of these debates, stupid. It's a dumb, stupid move. I think it'll be forgotten about. I don't think it'll be, ultimately it's going to come down to which vision of Canada people want. But really, while there is a sensible reason why Trudeau chose the debates he did and chose not to go to the others, the media did not report it properly. They buried it in the bottom of the stories, didn't put anything on the, in the headlines, didn't provide the proper context again. But even though there's a good reason, I think it's shitty optics. All right, let's go around the horn and see what other people think. Tyler Watt.
I completely agree that it looks pretty bad, and I've really seen the Conservatives running wild with it. Even Lisa Ray tweeting constantly about these 12,000 signatures that they've collected to get Trudeau to participate in these debates. You know, I understand the reasoning, like it makes sense. Unfortunately, the context is a bit complicated for the regular news reader, which is like a sad thing to say, but people typically only really read headlines. And with, like you said, the media kind of burying it at the bottom of the story there, the optics just looks bad. And I don't really know what what he should do in this case, because it could really, you know, people may just forget about this. But to people who don't actually know what's going on, which is probably most people, it doesn't look great when the Prime Minister doesn't show up at the debate. And I also don't really understand why he wouldn't want to participate in all the debates, just because it gives you that extra platform. And if you're not there, you're not going to be able to, like, put forward your vision for the country and whatnot.
Well said. If I was Justin Trudeau, I would use every opportunity to contrast myself with Andrew Scheer, because Andrew Scheer sounds like a bumbling fool when he talks, whereas Justin Trudeau, he's a great debater. He's got a good presence. I would, if I were him, I would go everywhere that Andrew Scheer was and have people compare me to him, because Scheer does not come out looking good. All right, let Hafiz, your thoughts.
You know, it's funny. The last time Trudeau was at the Monk debates in 2015, he actually did really well against Stephen Harper. So I don't understand why he wouldn't go again. However, I did a little background check on the Monk debates and, you know, who they're associated with, and something associated with a fund that's also associated with the Fraser Institute. But, I mean, if these are the reasons why you're avoiding the Monk debate, communicate that. Call it out for what it is.
I agree. Again, a failure of communication from the Liberals.
Right. But, again, if you excelled at that debate, and my criticism is I'm on the West Coast. When the Monk debate aired, I caught, because obviously it was like, it was earlier in our day for us because we're behind.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, we're behind in the clock. We only caught the tail end of it, and it wasn't accessible for someone on the West Coast as easy as it was for someone on the East Coast.
Well, you guys have no PVRs? What the hell are you talking about?
The debate was online.
You're right. It's stuff that goes online disappears and is never seen again.
But they didn't upload it again till about, like, I think 3 months after the election.
Oh, then I'm sorry, I'm wrong.
Like, it wasn't readily accessible for everyone. And part of Elections Canada is that things like debates should be accessible to all Canadians, right? It wasn't. And so if you go on now to Monk's website, you'll see the 2015 election, but it's far too late to make a decision.
Like, so you're proving the point as to why this whole committee of broadcasters was formed. So
exactly.
that kind of shit wouldn't happen, so that people on the West Coast wouldn't be disadvantaged and wouldn't be cut off from being able to see it. You know, it makes sense. You're just underlining the reason that all this effort went in to form this coalition to make these really accessible debates happen. And that makes sense, though you sort of glanced over the Monk debates and how they're associated with the Fraser Institute. And unless you're a politico, you don't realize what the Fraser Institute is. The Fraser Institute is a right-wing organization that, well, that's all you have to know. They're a right-wing organization and not a moderate right-wing organization. They're hair-on-fire conservative right-wing organization.
And they misrepresent the truth often. Yeah. They will, they like when, for example, when they present tax information, they present business taxes along with personal taxes and present it all as one tax that and everyone pays, which is ridiculous. And they're just dishonest with their material. So as a major, you know, organization that oversees all the debates, why would the elections committee pick them?
Yeah, and why would you, as a prime minister who is a champion of progressive politics, want to go hang out with an organization or endorse an organization by appearing that's associated with the Fraser Institute, which actively misleads Canadians and does it deliberately? So that makes sense. All right. Justin, what are your thoughts?
So strategy-wise, I think it's something that is unfortunately done very commonly, both in Canada, the U.S., other countries, for incumbents to basically dodge debates and kind of hide out before the election time. People already know what they're about because they've had so many number of years to basically demonstrate what they're about. So by showing up to debates, it's often thought that the incumbent really is kind of showing up as a punching bag. And I do get that from a strategic standpoint, why he wouldn't want to do these other debates, as few as he needs to. But from a optics standpoint, like you said, as far as transparency goes, it seems really opaque for the, you know, the leader of our country to just go, nah, I'm not going to show up to those debates. I don't like those ones. I'm just going to go to these ones. Now, you said, obviously, it's a nonpartisan organization and all the parties were involved, but you just wait. It's going to be all over the place, you know, from the conservative supporters to say that, oh, Trudeau probably fixed these debates and he's only going to these ones that his government made because they'll give him softball questions and blah, blah, blah. So the optics, terrible. Strategy, eh.
All right. Stuart?
Yeah, like I sort of agree, but the whole, when you're the incumbent, when you're the prime minister and you're at, when these elections come around, the debates are basically, it's 3-1. Like they're all just taking turns trying to stab you in the back. But,
which like is the, because you have a record, yeah. in governance that is, it's fair for them to question, though. Of course, when you haven't been the government, you can promise lollipops and ponies. It doesn't matter. But it is.
Yeah, they're all going for the same throne. But, like, I found it kind of ironic that they invoked Harper trying to game the system last election. Harper did 5 elections, if I recollect and counted correctly.
5 debates, you mean?
He did 5 debates. If with what Trudeau has now, he has, the debates he's accepted, he'll be doing 2, 1 in English and 1 in French. So
possibly another one that he's considering on TVA in Quebec.
Okay, so 3. So if Harper was gaming the system by doing 5 debates, what is only doing 3 debates that, like, as much as you want to say that it was nonpartisan, that 3 debates that your government's commission set up on its own? So it's just a misstep. Like,
it doesn't matter that it was his government that set it up because it was nonpartisan. Just because it happened under his aegis, under his administration, it doesn't mean. I mean, he's going to get hardball.
Well, you can say that all you like, but perception means everything in
election. He's going to get hardball. He is going to get real hardball questions in these debates because he's got a record. I mean, it's very hard to, everybody knows everything about Andrew Scheer. What are you going to go after him for that people don't know? I mean, Scheer has a record that can be criticized, but not a record as a prime minister. There's lots to criticize him about. The NDP leader will be there. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Trust me, he's going to get some hardball questions. And for people out there who are complaining that the moderators are women that they're all women. These women are going to give tougher questions than you would have got, you know, usually from men. This is just my prediction that they are going to dispense with the phony pageantry, and they're going to ask some really sharp, really pointed questions. So I think after this debate, people are going to stop asking why was it all women, and they're going to say, boy, they really nailed them to the wall.
And unlike the aging portrait of Dorian Gray that is Rex Murphy said, these are not just five random women. These women have incredible credentials in journalism. So,
well, he said they were eminently female, whatever that means.
They're also the best in the political scene. I mean, I don't know if you watch Power and Politics.
Yeah.
These women put everyday politicians, they put their words to the fire. Like, they don't hold back. Yeah. They aren't nice. They aren't sweet about it. And, you know, I think they've done a phenomenal job, especially on Power and Politics.
Yeah, and Rosie Barton's on there, right?
Yeah, Rosie Barton. Yeah.
Rex, I mean, if you want to come for Rosemary, you got to come through me. I will. She has my sword. I will pledge her my fealty.
Like she killed it after Evan Solomon left. I'd say the show actually got better and more people turned into it.
We're still beating them on iTunes, I should point out.
Well, you know, they don't have Ed the Sock.
Yeah.
This is very true. this is not, by the way, like the female reboot of Ghostbusters, the way people are treating it, which was treated as it's a female reboot of Ghostbusters. And the fact that it was female was more important than the Ghostbusters part. This debate, the fact that it's all women, big deal. When for years it was all men, nobody gave a shit. Yes, it seems like more of a political statement when it's all women, but these are all women that you can look at their records, look at the criteria and say, they deserve to be there. Every time a woman or a group of women take over or exist in a position where before it was a man or a group of men, all of a sudden people start questioning their credentials and whether they should be there. When it was the men who were there, there was some question, but it was nowhere near what it is now. And Rex Murphy, I don't know what rock he lives under the rest of the week, but I wish he'd stay there all the time.
Like, which men would they, what they, do they want to put in place? Like, I'm sorry, there isn't anyone else other than these five journalists, forget that they're women, that are best representing the questions Canadians would have for a leader. I'm sorry, they've held each and every leader of each and every party equally accountable. So
that's right.
Well, it's not just that. Like, it's, I think it's like three national, like Ottawa bureau chiefs and two of the heads of like national, like news, like anchors. So I like, it's just that they just all happened to be women this time.
Yeah, exactly.
There was they didn't go out of their way to get women. It's just the people at the top of Canadian news broadcasting and journalism right now all happen to be women.
Yeah, anything that should tell everyone around, like, come on, the best are women. Just deal with it. If you want to do something better, maybe step up to the bar.
All right. By the way, at least twice now, Hafiz, when we've come to you, it sounded like you were flushing a toilet. Are you doing this on the can?
No, I am not doing this on the can. Sounds like I'm flushing the toilet. I have the AC on in the background. That's about it.
Oh, I don't know. It sounded to me like you were flushing the toilet. All right. And listen, come clean if you are. All right. Let's move on to the next topic. Hafiz, since we were just talking about you and with you, introduce the topic.
Well, you know, today, or actually this week, Chick-fil-A opened up in Toronto. Now, I'm all the way out here in Vancouver, and I've heard the wonderful things about this Chick-fil-A chicken, and I'm really jealous that you guys have it.
Oh, please.
It opened up to a great deal of protest from the LGBTQ community. there is a history of Chick-fil-A having protests against, you know, its business practices and whatnot. In particular, it started in, I believe, in the U.S., where they were protesting Chick-fil-A's donations to two particular organizations, one being the Salvation Army, and the other one being the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Now, ever since then, it's also been conflated about how they treat LGBTQ customers and or workers that work for the company. And I'm sorry, I haven't been able to find anything on the latter half. However, I did find instances where there was a LGBTQ employee that was working for the company that had a manager say something offensive to seeing the sight of two men kissing, and that manager was fired. There's another aspect I want to bring up into this. While if we're going to blame Chick-fil-A and we're going to hold them accountable for who their owners donate to, we should also be holding accountable Walmart, Home Depot, and everyone's favorite, Amazon, to the same standards, because each of those companies have owners that have donated to the same charities.
Okay, hang on a minute. I've let this bullshit go on long enough. The Salvation Army, yes, they donated to. Those other companies you mentioned, they've donated to political candidates who have not great records in voting on LGBTQ rights. They also, these companies, they give to everybody. That's not the issue. The issue that's different about Chick-fil-A is, first of all, they give to other organizations. They give to organizations that promote the Pray the Gay Away, the gay conversion therapy, and the statements made by the president, Dan Caffey, okay, who proudly came out as a homophobe. That's the thing. It isn't just who they donate money to. It's what they have said. It's what they said publicly about gay people.
Well, I have a quote, and it goes to this. It's by Pete Buttigieg from...
I love Pete Buttigieg. Oh, I wish he could be president of the world.
I'm really glad he said that, because he says, I don't approve of their politics, Buttigieg says on Kathy, but I kind of approve of their chicken. And he goes
that settles it.
To say, Chick-fil-A boycotts seem to be more a form of virtue signaling. So, if Mayor Pete can scarf down Chick-fil-A, who says I can't?
Well, you can do whatever the hell you want, but
free market, baby.
I ate Chick-fil-A a couple of times when I was in L.A. years ago, and let me tell you, every time I did, it gave me volcanoes, okay? I went in, I tasted it, it was like, oh, Chick-fil-A tastes like every other frickin' chicken restaurant. Like, there is nothing... This is not God's chickens, okay? Their products are not so amazingly different from everybody else's that we even need them up here. We've got enough chicken restaurants up here that make good chicken. Who the hell needs them? But
you're chicken privilege right now. Some of them haven't had Chick-fil-A.
Listen, when you've got somebody who's made as horrendously hateful comments about gay people as Dan Caffey and his family, the owners of Chick-fil-A, have, I think gay people have absolute right. Not even a question of right. I think it's almost an obligation for them to go out there and people who support them to protest and to not eat their chicken. Because it's not just who they donate to. It's not just who they donate to. It's the horrible public statements that they have made about gay people. If they'd said the same statements with the same character about black people, this wouldn't even be a question. There would be no question that there should be protests and so on. But gay people, So, you know, like if they'd said these comments about Jews, about black people, but nobody would stand for it. But these hateful comments they made about gay people, sorry.
What were those comments that he made?
What?
What comments did he make in particular?
All right, let me.
He spoke against marriage equality, and then he did not believe in marriage equality. I believe that was one of the things he spoke out against. And yes, he does donate to organizations that support, only marriage between men and women, which is ridiculous. But that's his money, and it's a separate corporation.
Well, I'm just looking up the. It's because I have a head cold. I had this information here. I had his quotes here. You know what? Take my word for it. They were beyond the pale. They were beyond just anti-equal marriage. They were about just people being gay in general, about gay people in general. And I have no patience for anybody who uses their religion to sanctify their hatred. Sorry, you're missing an awful lot of the rest of the message in your religion. If that's the part you're focusing on, like, you know, I always say that if Jesus were to come back tomorrow and looked around at all these supposed Christian leaders that are well known and hear what they are saying in his name, he could sue them for slander. And Jesus was Jesus was Jewish, so he would know some lawyers.
I got some comments from the CEO and president, if you want to just some of the things he may have said. So one of them, oops, I did not mean to have that. Did you guys hear that?
No.
So, okay, good. That's never mind. So one of his.
What did you do, fart?
No, just my text message just come up on my computer. And there was
he didn't hear it. I thought you ripped one. All right, go on.
Yeah. So one comment he made on the Jen Coleman show in 2012. I think we are inviting God's judgment on our nation when we shake our fists at him and say, we know better than you as to what constitutes a marriage. I pray God's mercy on our generation that has such a prideful, arrogant attitude to think that we have the audacity to find what marriage is about.
Arf.
Yes, this next...
That's a horrible comment, but...
Terrible.
Well, as Leslie Knope from Parks and Rec once said, why would you want to piss off the gays? They make the Chinese look like the Greeks. And I say that in the spirit of solidarity and intersectionality. But it's just like it's the free market. If people take these comments made by the president and COO, chief operating officer, Dan Cathy. So if they want to see these comments and say, well, he makes these statements, I don't want to patronize this establishment with my hard-earned dollars. That is their right to do, as it is your right, Hafiz, to enjoy. As you say, they're delicious chicken, which you cannot do on a Sunday.
It's not so I'm telling you, this chicken is not so delicious. We do not need another American company here. And Hafiz, yeah, you're right. Lots of companies donate. There are companies in the States that there are rating systems amongst LGBTQ plus groups. And they have like 100% rating, meaning that they're so pro-gay, they get to... You know, gay organizations.
McDonald's donated to Trump already. 2020.
These organizations that are that have great records with these LGBTQ groups also have donated to politicians that, amongst their voting record, they've voted things that were not pro, gay rights or gay issues. But it's just the way, the arrogance, the hatred that I feel coming, the judgment I feel coming off this chicken king, that's what sets it apart for me.
There's also a pretty long history of the things that the CEO, President Cathy, has done in terms of LGBT things. He's donated to organizations that promote gay conversion therapy.
Yes.
He's donated to things like millions of dollars to things that force their members to sign like sexual purity statements that condemn LGBT people.
Donations I've mentioned, the Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Those are the two organizations.
Exodus International, that's the gay conversion therapy one.
Yeah, there's other ones that he's contributed money to. Yeah.
But there's also other things, like there was a lawsuit that happened where a Muslim sued, I think it was somewhere in Houston, who was like being forced to pray with his fellow coworkers, or he was refusing to do it and he was being discriminated against. Like, there's so much ickiness that goes on there. I think it's perfectly within people's rights to protest and refuse to go there. But then there's the other side of the coin, like you've all said, if you choose to spend your money there, then so be it. I personally am not going to be ever going to Chick-fil-A. I've known about their history for a very long time. I think what the owner stands for is disgusting. And I'm perfectly happy to spread the word on that.
He's given money to the Family Research Council in the States, yeah. Okay? An organization listed as an anti-gay hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center, all right? Southern Poverty Law Center is seen as an authority on hate groups in the U.S., and these guys contributed to that organization. They have refused to allow same-sex couples to participate in their marriage retreats. They've done, fuck them, is the bottom line, okay? if this is their, I don't have a problem with anybody having their own religious opinions. Keep them to yourself. But if you're going to go out there and spout off bigoted comments, don't cry foul when you get people protesting, because they're exercising the same free speech and free expression that you did when you acted like a prejudicial bigot. And
exactly.
But here's the thing about boycotts. They never work.
Nope. Okay? They actually help the business even more.
Boycotts worked in recent memory. I think the only boycotts that have ever worked were the ones against South Africa's apartheid. Those were the only ones, I think, that ever worked. When you have, every time, like, that Nike ad came out with, what's his name, Colin Kaepernick, yeah. All right? And the shoes that were using the old American flag that somehow has become a symbol of racism or whatever. People, I'm going to boycott. No one boycotts. You know why they don't boycott? Because they always think, well, everybody else is going to boycott. It doesn't matter if I, you know, go and buy something there. And everybody thinks that, so the boycotts never work. And if it's a religious type boycott or political, you know, political identity one, yeah, whoever just mentioned it pointed it out, that you get an unprecedented wave of support, people going to patronize those businesses because they support those attitudes. So I don't even know what the hell we're arguing about. If your point of fees is that there are lots of American corporations that give to politicians who don't have good LGBT.
Or hateful organizations or all of this. Like, I mean, Amazon donates to the same people. None of us are going to boycott them. None of us are going to boycott Walmart.
When has Jeff Bezos come out and said that?
He's a smart man. The only thing he gets caught at is
just God.
No ethical consumption under capitalism, baby.
Let's move on. Like. By the way, like, I'm just saying, I don't even need their damn chicken here. I hope they wind up like Target and run with their head, their tail tucked between their legs back to the U.S. We don't need
Popeyes.
Them.
Well, Popeyes, it would be a good time. It'd be a good time for Popeyes to send that chicken sandwich north of the border.
They already have.
What do you mean? Popeyes all over the place here.
Yeah,
we have Popeyes, but they don't have the sandwich here yet.
Oh, they're coming later on next year.
Yeah, I'm waiting with bated breath and.
Yeah, same.
What a wonderful society are we're waiting for fast food, which is terrible for us.
It's good chicken, man. What, like, it's there. This is our society we live in. We got fucking chicken. Other societies got Renaissance paintings.
What?
You got the shit end of the stick on that one.
What do you say? That we have.
This is our society. This is the best that we have.
Processed consumer chicken products are the Mona Lisa.
This is our Mona Lisa.
Michelangelo's David. Popeye's chicken?
And fried chicken anywhere in the world for like $3. It's a miracle. Look at this thing of beauty. that we've created.
By the way, you mentioned fried chicken in parts of the world. Do a read on Wikipedia about Kentucky Fried Chicken in Japan, because it's hilarious.
Yeah, they give you instructions on how to take apart the chicken.
Not just that, it's a huge cultural thing there that people go to the Kentucky Fried Chicken for Christmas. And there was a whole story associated with a baseball team that took a stat. They won a was it baseball? It was a sports team. They won a championship, and they took the statue when they were routed. They took the statue of the colonel and dumped it in a waterway. And after that, they never won a championship again. They've been in a losing streak ever since. And Japan sent divers down to find the colonel's statue, and they found most of it. And they've reconstituted it. But it's this odd story about this curse on this sports team that when they disrespected Colonel Sanders, they brought the wrath of the sports gods down on them. All right, let's move on. Tyler, your topic.
Okay, so my topic is hallway medicine, which has been in the news a lot the last couple of days.
Define that, please.
So hallway medicine is a term that people have coined to describe the current state of our healthcare system. A lot of people are finding that they are literally in the hallways because hospitals are so overcrowded, particularly in emergency rooms, that they don't have enough beds to actually care for their patients. So people are lined up in the hallways receiving their care.
Now, wait a second. Just to clear something up for me. I thought that the problem was that they do have beds, like they're not putting people on the floor, but they're in cots and gurneys out in the hallway. That there are beds.
Correct. They're out on a bed in the hallway. I say beds, I mean like there's a room that has a bed.
They're not in a hospital room. They're correct. Left out in a hallway. All right.
Yeah. Now, if you remember back in July, Doug Ford promised that he would end hallway healthcare within a year. And Christine Elliott came out a couple of days later having to walk back that statement because that statement is literally impossible. That would never happen in a million years. And an article came out recently that said the average wait time in Ontario to be admitted to an ER is 16.3 hours, which is absolutely insane. Like, I can hardly wrap my head around that.
Okay, but hang on a second. This, when we're talking about averages, remember that emergency rooms are triage centers and that some people go there for a hangnail. That average is deceptive because if you go there and you're bleeding out your jugular vein, you're not going to wait 16 hours. It's that average also includes people who go there and don't have anything really life-threatening and sometimes have things that they should just go to their family doctor for, but they use the emergency room. There's an awful lot in that average that the average doesn't speak to. But I've been to emergency rooms, and when you need actual emergency medicine, I've seen people get, like, they're rushed right in. They're not sitting there, blood spouting everywhere, like Dan Aykroyd in that Julia Child Saturday Night Live sketch, which you should look up online. There's a lot of people who should either they're there because it's the weekend and their doctor's not open, the doctor's office is not open, and the walk-in clinics are closed, and in a triage situation with limited resources in hospitals that keep getting cut. There's going to be wait times, but that average, not everybody's treated the same way. If you walk into an emergency room with a serious emergency, don't be afraid you're going to sit there for 16.2 hours.
No, and I'm not trying to say that anyone will. However, that average does speak to the fact that our emergency rooms are completely overcapacitated. I am a student nurse. I'll be graduating this year and I'm entering this field. So I do have a bit of a lens into it, what's actually going on, at least here in Kingston. And the fact is people don't have access to healthcare. They don't have access to mental health resources. They don't have access to even family physicians. So their only option is to go to the emergency room where they know at some point they're going to get care. Now, all of the cuts and everything that is happening to our healthcare system, not to our primary healthcare system, but to public healthcare, is all contributing to this crisis that's going on. So the fact that we do have people that are waiting an incredible amount of time, or are being cared for in hallways. I know someone personally that went in shock and was in a hallway for her entire 3-day stay at the hospital. So there's a huge problem going on. Hospitals are extremely limited with what they can do. They're with the amount of staff that they have, the amount of beds that they have, and the direction that the Ford government is taking this province in really isn't going to fix anything.
A guy like Doug Ford, for all I know, his promise to get rid of hallway medicine is to go through the hallways and roll people out downstairs, you know, throw them out of the hospital. They, look, nobody else is in the hallway. But he talks like so many politicians that are populist these days, out his ass. All right, you know what? I told you at the beginning of the show I had a head cold, and this is about as much as I can take. I think people have got enough to chew on. I want to thank you for joining us. Go to patreon.com/FUNetworkTV. Help to support us. And we'll be back again next week. I'm Ed the Sock. This is Rock'em Sock'em Politics on FU Politics on Fun, the FU Network. This is Fun, the FU Network.